What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Hello there. The boys and the girls on Footy Prime show can sometimes get a bit out of control. Yeah, they'll say words that might not be suitable for children. So use your full discretion when you're playing this around your family. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
and the Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
My water bottle keys out with my green screen. It's kind of cool. Mm. A ghost, Stanley. Stanley the ghost.
That's a new item at Starbucks. It's the ghost coffee. It's an empty cup. It's $9.
Yeah, may as well be.
That's what it's been released in the playoffs. Ghost Stanley.
So funny. This is the year, Dubs. This is the year, right, Jimmy?
It is, buddy.
Everything from game one said everything about this year's playoff run, I think.
Well, what is Dan doing?
So it's all looking good. What is Dan doing?
Making myself a little pinker.
Is that a thing?
He's pinching his cheeks for the audience listening. You're fluffing your...
One of the words we're not supposed to use for the YouTube algorithm.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Footy Prime. We're back from a long weekend off. We're all here apart from Craig, still in Vancouver. Craig's, as far as I know, we're hoping he's going to make it to the big Whitecaps match on Thursday. And then he'll return, perhaps, maybe, we think, to Toronto. But you don't know with Craig. He might just hang out there a little bit longer. But regardless, we're going to talk some TFC later today. John Molinaro of TFCRepublic.ca will join us. They won a game on the weekend, the first this season. The tide has turned at BMO Field, perhaps, at least defensively. It seems that way. Let's just give a little recap, shall we, from the weekend. Dubs, NFL.
Well, sorry, I'm just – you did say we were off. We weren't off. We just didn't do a podcast.
Right.
We were working all – everyone was working all weekend, really. Mm-hmm.
We were doing stuff, yeah, for sure.
Oh, and I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you want to continue hosting the show? Or?
I just wanted to – sorry about that. Excuse me. I'm going to get back into my place.
And then if you checked out our social feeds on Saturday, you'll know we're doing stuff.
Go back into the grayscale, which is where you exist this morning. Wow. In your box.
I'm in sepia.
Your tone is odd. It is. But yeah, listen, it was a fun Saturday at BMO Field. 15,000 or thereabouts. So whenever I said 15,000, I was corrected. No, it's 14,500. 15,000. We're going to round up. It was a good number. It was a great vibe, great atmosphere. Way better than Vancouver, I hear, Dubs. And the weather was much better, too. I'm joking.
Says Wonger.
Trolling our Vancouver audience. That's all I'm doing.
They both were spectacular.
Crappy weather, raining.
But no, it was a really, really fun afternoon / evening. It went into the wee hours. And we were talking to Dinah Matheson after the match. Little name drop there. And we were asking her, so how do you feel? Like, and she kind of doesn't know quite how to feel just yet. I think it's still a little bit of a blur for her, mm-hmm. what they've actually accomplished. Because when you get those opening games off and running, and I don't know at what point it's going to kind of hit home to the people that built this thing. Oh, yeah, here we are. We've got a legitimate, proper football league now.
She was speaking to Christina Litz, because that's another name drop, sauntered over and was having a chat with the Footy Prime folks. And he kind of made reference that it was almost a dissociative thing for her, that she was watching it unfold, but it's almost as if it wasn't hers. It wasn't NSL. It was like she was watching it, I don't know, like that she wasn't really there, you know what I mean? But she was, and taking part and enjoying it, but it hadn't really struck her yet, I think, how immense the moment was. And she said to Christina that it'll be the final, like it'll be at the conclusion of the year. And I'm sure it won't be just all of a sudden, like on a dime, the realization will hit them and what they've accomplished. But I think it'll be more of a gradual thing and like a slow boil. But I really don't think that it's sunk in yet for them. But yeah, I think two great celebrations in Vancouver, and then in Toronto, a great result for the Roses, who were resolute and who were organized, and some tactical changes in the second half there allowed them to stave off, I think, a team that was growing in confidence and looked a lot more fluent going forward in AFC Toronto. A lot of their weapons who were injured, so I think they will get better, but they looked, I think, what we expected them to look like in the second half. But yeah, just a great festive atmosphere. A lot of people really happy to see that kick off. And actually, Mel Booth, who used to play with the women's national team, was there with her two kids. And she was wearing an AFC Toronto shirt, and it said something on the back, and I'm going to butcher it slightly. It's not exactly what it read, but it was basically like, here to support the league that wasn't around for me, or that type of thing, you know, that you all kinds of iterations of levels of players and participation in women's sports and women's soccer are so happy to see this happening, because it's now it's here for this generation, and it's here to come, and it's going to be sustainable, and you see the people who are out to support it. And that was really cool to kind of sense on the day, because I think you felt that energy about the place, and you guys were there too. So maybe like the 14.5 to 15K, maybe that was just Wonger's outdoor voice that gave it the bump, right?
Stevie Cheng,
Wonger, are you okay?
Are you listening?
Oh, I'm listening to all of you fuckers.
And I was just going to say, for Footy Prime, I think maybe keeping Jimmy closer to his mic, the hack is for him to forget his glasses more often, because it forces him to be a little bit closer to the screen, right? So he can see everybody.
Can't see much.
Oh, you sound great. That's fantastic.
You sound terrific.
Is this Footy Prime? I can't see.
He's on a CIBC earnings call.
Yeah.
No, I still think tying the string around the neck to the mic is the way to go for Jimmy. But yeah, no, it was great. And Wongo, we were hanging out pre-match with JC in the Vermilion Vanguard, which is a color.
But it's a great name. Well, it's a really good name. To Claudio,
double V's,
Sonia,
and the V with guys. The Voyagers kind of linked. Is that part of it, do you think? Kind of linked in there? A lot of Voyagers were on hand. Mm-hmm. Also now Vermilion. Is it Vermilion or Vermilion? Or
Vermilion.
Vermilion Vanguard. Mm-hmm. That's a supporter.
Is this the first time you've heard of this word? Because you've had a hard time.
I first heard it on the podcast last week, and I said to you, I've never heard that before. And then we were talking to them pre-match, and I said, I've never heard that before.
You just kept like, saying it.
We did two hits, I think, from the ground. And I said, I don't know what that is. Yeah. So,
are you being stubborn or just obtuse? Like, what are you doing?
Not here for the intelligence. Here to provide the looks. Okay.
Obviously.
That's what I'm here for, yes. But no, they were great. And they got the TIFOs. Before the match, we were having a few beers at the pre-match.
Something in the water.
Something in the water in Liberty
Brewery.
Beach.
Really great spot.
Yeah, and a real energy about them. Yeah. They're really looking forward to this. And our boy Claudio was
bought us beer, by the way.
Bought us beer, yes.
Thank you, Claudio. That was so sweet. We owe you beer.
Not badly.
Yeah.
Didn't get to respond. It wasn't reciprocal. I would like to always buy someone a beer when they bought me a beer. And then we have two together. But they had to split earlier than we did.
I think we're tight enough with Claudio now that
it's true.
There isn't the obligatory buyback. We will get him at some point. Obligatory buyback.
In the kind words of my wife all the time, I'll get you next time.
Was that regarding alcohol or?
Sure.
Or just her natural vindictiveness.
I'm going to get you next time.
It's all the tone. Yeah, the delivery.
Does she roll over when she says that?
She sure does.
I'll get you next time.
That's it. There it is.
Puts a pillow between them.
That should hold me for a while. Great time to bring on John Molinaro. J-Mo loves the... the crudeness of the podcast. Hey, J-Mo.
It's his favorite.
Hey, good morning. You're
at the match on Saturday?
Yes.
All eight feet of him. You're so tall, man.
You're always surprised by how tall J-Mo is, JC.
I am. He's just a tall drink of water.
You make it sound like I'm some freakishly mountainoid. I mean, I'm only 6'4". It's not
well, I'm only 5'2", so...
Okay.
I think a lot of people are surprised when they see J-Mo. He's 6'4", tearing 6'4". Mm-hmm. But we just see him when he's sitting down in a podcast, usually.
Yes.
Or his seat in the press box, which has got a little plaque on it. J-Mo's seat. No one can touch it. Mm-hmm. It's been there since day one. They should have.
I was surprised to see J-Mo, and I surprised myself. So I was going down from the booth to pitch side and saw J-Mo and surprised myself because the words that came out of my mouth were, "Hello, John." I was like, John. I don't think I've ever called him John. Hello, good to meet you, John.
Well,
yes.
You were sober on Saturday for a while, though.
That's why.
You had that window of sobriety for about 5 hours before.
I have many windows of sobriety.
your thoughts on just quickly on the first match in Toronto, 14.5, 15,000 on hand, great atmosphere. Nice to see a winning team at BMO Field, although they lost.
Yeah, they lost.
It's a dumb thing to say, but it was still a funny joke when I first thought of it.
Yes. No, it was a great occasion. It was really sort of humbling just to be there because I've long been an advocate of women's football. I've been writing about it for the better part of 25 years. So to actually write about and cover a women's professional team in this city, that was a huge moment, and I was quite privileged just to be there for it. I have to say, it was a fantastic occasion to see that many people at BMO Field and such a great atmosphere. Fantastic to see. I think, the product on the field has, a little bit of work to do, but that's understandable just considering, these teams haven't been together for all that long. They've had, relatively short preseasons, and there's obviously going to be some kinks along the way, but that's only natural. But I think from what I saw, there's a lot of promise in just looking at the Vancouver game as well last week. I think you can tell that this is going to be a very competitive league that's going to provide great entertainment. And so, I just thought it was a fantastic occasion overall. And as I said, really, really privileged to be there.
AFCRepublic.ca, an idea for a spin-off.
Yeah, maybe.
But you'll be covering the team, I'm assuming, to a certain degree on TFCRepublic.ca.
Yeah, as much as I can. Obviously, TFC is going to sort of dictate a lot of my time and take up a lot of my time. But the plan is to go to as many home games as I possibly can for AFC Toronto to write about it. And I think Sportsnet is going to have me write a bit about the Northern Super League as well. So yeah, there'll be coverage for me, no doubt.
Well, get some more subs. You can hire a specific journalist to cover. Hey, J-Mo, think big, pal.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I should start thinking big, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Spend those profits on talent, as I say.
The big
empire. That's what we're going to do here.
Yes.
The empire. Exactly. Build the empire. Speaking of the Empire, perhaps it's not falling after all. TFC with the first win of the season. And in fairness, the last, four games, three clean sheets. When you see a team slowly turn it around, usually it comes through defensive football first. Should TFC fans be optimistic, excited, hopeful, or wary of the recent uptick in performances?
I would suggest they should be cautiously optimistic. I think... There's, when you think about it, they conceded 12 goals through the first five games. And, there was just, I think, defensively all over the place. I think when you look at the last four games, a lot more solid. I mean, you look at sort of the way that they've defended just their shape. They've been able to sort of maintain a defensive solidity. There's this bend but don't break quality. And I think, he doesn't get enough credit, but I think Debbie Flores has really kind of stepped up and really sort of helped them. Protect that back line. And I was reading a stat like yesterday, and just looking at the number of interceptions and recoveries and duels that he's won, it's quite impressive. So I think he's played a big part. But yeah, I think there's reason to be cautiously optimistic. I mean, when you look at the nine games that they've played, they haven't been blown out. They've been competitive in all of those nine games. So the fact that they were able to put together this nice little run of matches where they've, three shutouts against Vancouver, Minnesota, and they limited Inter Miami to one goal. Those are three of the best teams that they were able to take points off of. So I think that's encouraging. So I think there's, as I said, there's reason to be optimistic. What I would be concerned about is still the attack. It's still, they're still not as dangerous or productive as they should be. I mean, Lorenzo Insigne still hasn't scored. They just seem to be labor when they get to that final action, whether it's, the killer making the killer pass or the right decision. They've got to really, so they're kind of walking a tightrope here in terms of, being in really tight competitive games. You'd like to see them open things up and win it a little bit more comfortably and, grab a 2-0 lead. It should be said too. I mean, the game in Salt Lake, that was only the third time that they've enjoyed a lead this season. So they've mostly been playing from either behind or at an equal advantage. So I think that's something that they have to sort of address going forward as well.
Okay, so yeah, attack's a problem. We get that, but what is Robin Fraser's thoughts right now? Is he speaking as if he's a manager that's kind of beginning to figure it out, or is he still being cautiously optimistic?
I don't know. I think it's more. I don't know that he's trying to figure it out. I think it's more about letting the process play out and. It just needing a bit more time. I mean, you have to remember that he was only hired in January. So he didn't have a great deal of time to work with these players. He had one sort of preseason, but even then it couldn't have been easy for him coming into a new situation with players he largely didn't know. I mean, he knew a few, obviously. He worked with Osorio during his time here. But so I think it was just a matter of time of him sort of continuing to hammer home what he wants done and let the process playing out. I think, I think we've seen progress from the team. When you look at those first five games when they were leaking goals, they are unquestionably look more, far more solid over the last four games. And they've done it with, a staggering amount of defensive injuries, whether it's Henry Wingo or Nixon Gomis, who've been out injured, Zane Monlouis. Someone like Sigurd Rosted, who has, come in for a lot of criticism since his time in Toronto, has really kind of stepped up. And I think has begun to live up to his hefty contract. And the same for Raul Petretta. So I think, Robin is, feeling good about things are right now. He's obviously not entirely pleased, but I think he's pleased that it's headed in the right direction and that his vision of what he wants the club to be is, it's slowly inching towards that in that direction.
JMO, do you think it's just a matter of time before they find their fluency and kind of their footing and express themselves the way that Robin Fraser wants them to, in terms of the attack? Because like foundational piece guys like a Sean Johnson, I mean, talk right. about a more organized defense, but I mean, the pillar back there is Sean Johnson performing the way I think they expect him to perform. Like that's been a big part of this tide turning, right? And seeing positivity. So if you're not going to outscore the mistakes, you're mitigating the mistakes, and you've got a goalkeeper who's saving, expected goals over the past four games where they've got the three draws and now the win. So you can rely on that. That does give the offense a little bit of confidence, doesn't it? That you know that your goalkeeper will make those saves even if you're unable to really score at every turn.
I would think so, Amy. And I should have mentioned Sean Johnson. I mean, I think this has been sort of the best stretch from him that we've seen since he's been in the TFC sort of jersey. I think he's been absolutely outstanding. I mean, when you look at the last couple of games, especially against Salt Lake, he was, absolutely brilliant, made some crucial saves. I do think, yeah, there's a lot of truth to what you said, Amy, because it sort of gives, the forwards a little bit of a leeway, knowing that, Sean and the defense can kind of keep them in a tight game. Will they find their fluidity eventually? I'm not sure. I still think this team needs another sort of attacking piece up front, like another forward, someone who can complement Ola Brilliansen. I just think there's a lack of depth at the number nine position and that they could really be better suited to going out and fill that spot, especially with DeAndre Kerr, who it looks like he's going to be out for the foreseeable future with an ankle injury. And, Ola has been suffering through fitness and injury issues since he got here. He obviously came off the bench on Saturday. So I do think, at some point, does the attack become more fluid and more decisive? Possibly, but I still believe that you know, this sort of attack could use a, you know, an attacking reinforcement in the form of a of another striker.
Theo Corbenu, though.
Go ahead. I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah. You go ahead. I was going to ask about Corbenu.
You're going to ask probably a much more eloquent question, though, than me. So.
No, likely not. You go on.
Probably were. Okay. Well, let's both give our question, and then Jimmy can decide. Theo Corbenu looked good.
Corbenu, good. Rest of attacking core, bad. JMO, speak to that.
Yeah. No, I thought he was, you know, absolutely brilliant. I mean, when you look at that goal, that's all him. I mean, he did, it was an absolutely brilliant. I mean, he was the one who closed down, sort of saw that Hidalgo was getting that pass, back pass, and they immediately went to him, closed him down, dispossessed him, sidestepped the other defender, I think Justin Glad, you know, took a couple touches and then, you know, a brilliant finish. And it was all sort of one sort of, you know, sweeping motion action. And, you know, good for Theo, because it was a bit of a, you know, he started the first two games of the season and then kind of fell out of the roster and he was kind of struggling for playing time. But the last 2-3 weeks, I think he's really stepped up in a big way. You know, I think back to that, I believe it was the Inter-Miami game where he hit the post twice. And he just seems to be finding his attacking feet now. And I think, you know, he was duly rewarded for it with his first MLS goal against Salt Lake. So, you know, I think this was, you know, exactly the type of performance he needed. And this was exactly the type of performance that TFC needed, because Salt Lake is not an easy place to play, irrespective of, you know, the team's uneven form this year. You know, you're playing at altitude. They only won there one time before. Jimmy might remember, during the original 2007 season. So, it's where, you know, hopes go to die if you're a TFC, you know, fan. So the fact that they were able to get a result there and Corbiano was at the center of it, I think that really bodes well for the team going forward. Hopefully it gives him a bit more confidence, you know, and he can, you know, build upon what I thought was really a, you know, a splendid performance.
I thought it was an all right performance, John.
Yeah.
When I look at it, I thought it was a great time for them to score, 9 minutes in the match, which gives you a little spring in your step. But as the game went on, I think Salt Lake kind of dictated the play as well. They had 23 shots, 5 on target. TFC only had two shots, right? 1 on target. And it shows you that they were defending an awful lot throughout that match. And let's not forget, Diego Luna got sent off in the 60th minute as well. And when you're watching that match, it looked like TFC had the man down.
Yeah.
Now, Robin Fraser, for me, would look at that game thinking, I don't think he really cared what the performance was like as long as they got 3 points, because you go 8 games without a win. You think, we don't care what we've got to do here, but we need 3 points. We need our first win to give us something to go off of and try to maybe start gaining a little bit more momentum going forward. They've kept the number of clean sheets, which shows you they're trying to solidify that back line and defensively make sure that they're organized. And then you build off of that going forward. So, you hope this is going to give them a little bit more life and a little bit more positivity throughout the team. And eventually, I think, and I'm hoping, you start becoming a little bit more creative going forward. Now, when you do become creative going forward, you do create risk at the back because you open up a little bit more, don't you?
Sure, absolutely.
I thought they defended very, very well and in numbers. And they were under the caution a lot in that match.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree with you. I mean, this wasn't sort of like champagne football. This wasn't their best performance of the season. And it was, you know, and as Robin admitted after the game, this wasn't pretty. But again, I don't necessarily think it was about the performance as much as it was about the result, right? And sometimes, you know, you've got to grind it out and win ugly and sort of win in these types of gritty games. And, you know, how many times have we seen TFC come out on the losing end of close games like this where it's really tight and they have to grind things out? The fact that they were able to come out on top, on the road no less, in a place where, again, they haven't historically had a great deal of success, still managed to win despite not playing their best football, you know, I think that's a positive. So, as you said, hopefully they can sort of build upon this going forward.
You asked Jimmy, he probably remembers, when they beat Real Salt Lake in the inaugural season. Jimmy nodded, yep. Well, let's find out whether Jimmy remembered it or not. I've got the match.
I know we won.
Yep, you did. 2-1. Do you remember who scored?
Do, 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 do,
Was who? What's that?
Dicchio? No.
No, no. He's got an assist in the first goal, though. Against as a guy that was so confident that he'd score a certain number of goals, he put it on his back. Remember this. American international striker.
I know.
James got his hand up.
If I remember correctly, Jeff Cunningham was one of the
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Maybe he won.
Well done, J-Mo.
He was one away from 100, I think, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah,
something when he like that. Joined?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah. I think he was at like 98 or something like that, yeah. I couldn't remember for the life of me who scored the other goal, but I remember Jeff.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. So this guy is one of those people you can't trust because he has two first names as his name.
I thought you were going to go somewhere really dark.
No. Two first names.
Yeah, you know, if your surname is a first name as well, then you can't.
Like Steve David or.
What's his name? Colin Samuel.
Yes.
Oh, Colin Samuel. We used to call him Paca.
Why is that?
Paca was his nickname. So we're on the bus one day and we're having a conversation. And Paca, he was such a good guy. He was from Trinidad, right? Hilarious, hilarious individual. So I'm sitting there with Deej and I think Robbo and a few others. We're just bantering back and forth. And I look at Deej and I was like, come on, let's wind him up. Let's wind Colin Samuel up. And I went, hey, Deej, I said, remember that goalkeeper from Trinidad? He was brilliant. Played at West Ham. What was his name? Paca. He goes, Hislop. I went, Paca Hislop. That's it. Colin Samuel turns around and goes, who the fuck is Paca, man? It's Shaka. So we ended up calling him Paca.
Because of that. And that's how nicknames are born. I love that. Paca Samuel.
That was stupid. Yeah.
So dumb.
And brilliant.
But we laughed just how wound up he got.
Sure.
Just for old time's sake, let's go through the 11, shall we? Always fun to see those TSC early years. We got a certain Jimmy Brennan, obviously. Mm-hmm. Jeff Cunningham, who was subbed off for Andy Welsh. Deitch, Dane Dicchio, Todd Donovan. Yeah. Mo Adu, Tyrone Marshall, Ronnie O'Brien, Chris Pozniak, Sam Reynolds. I don't remember a goalkeeper, right? Sam Reynolds. Yeah. I don't remember him at all. Robbo, and here and Colin Samuel. Mm. It wasn't that bad a team on paper. Actually, there's some decent players there.
Yeah.
Why the hell?
Sam Reynolds. He was the nicest man I think I've ever met in my life. I remember one game. I think he broke his leg and he came in and apologized to everybody. I'm really sorry, guys. I'm really sorry. I feel like I let you down. We're like, you just broke your leg, you plumb.
Well. Was he? I'm trying to think. I can't even picture him. Can you, J-Mo? Do you remember Sam Reynolds?
Vaguely. Very long time ago.
Yeah. Ronnie O'Brien was in there. I'm not sure if I mentioned Ronnie O'Brien.
Yeah.
Just too many injuries, right, for Ronnie, wasn't it, in that first year? Decent player.
He was one of the best golfers I've ever seen in my life. He used to come to training with his golf shoes on.
May have been the issue.
Old golf kit. ready to go. As soon as training was done, he was on the course.
So he was focused on the job at hand then.
Yeah. And then I think he moved back to Dallas after and became a golf pro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What a life.
Oh, he was right into it. Loved it.
That's great. Okay, this segment, this is Lorenzo Insigne update brought to you by Fiat.
Yeah.
Which I think is some Italian brand here. We could sell. We have to go there, right? He's playing games.
Yep.
J-Mo, with the first – I didn't see this weekend's game. Just saw the highlights, going to be honest with you. First two or three games he started this season, probably more than that now. Not great. Not appalling, but the work ethic was questioned. How was he this weekend?
You know, put in a solid – I mean, I don't know if this is necessarily what people want to hear, but put in a solid defensive shift. Was really sort of committed to sort of being the first line of attack or defense up front. Still, that's not what you're paying him to do, but you want to see something more out of him from the attacking end. But I think he's clearly kind of bought into Robin's sort of vision of, you know, everyone defending as one and really buying into this sort of defense of mentality. And you know, you can't fault the guy's work rate. And through this entire thing, he's been really professional. Like I've seen him at practice and he's working hard and he's not, you know, he's sort of bantering with the players are bantering with him. He's, you know, putting in a solid shift during training. He's putting in solid shifts during games. So you can't really fault his effort or his sort of professionalism during all of this. So Robin has clearly, put him back in the lineup and is going to continue to give him games. The MLS primary transfer window closes on Wednesday, so they have until then to get something done, which, everything I'm led to believe isn't going to happen. So he's going to be here until at least the summer. So, I think Robin will continue to sort of play him because he likes what he's seen from him so far, although albeit he hasn't scored yet, although he does have 2 assists.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Insigne now. Obviously, he needs to leave at some point and they'll try and get that done. But he's only doing the job he's being paid to do, right? He got the contract. He's playing football. Okay, he's not playing particularly well. Perhaps the decline was steeper than the club anticipated. Maybe that's what it is, simple as that. So I'm not suggesting we have any sympathy. Mm-hmm. He seems to have shackled this club. But at the same time, at least he's playing football now. I mean, when he was just not playing, it was just a bad look optically.
Yeah, and I think the other thing I should mention too is during his time here, he's been sort of dogged by injury and fitness issues. He's been pretty durable so far. I mean, I think the first 3 games that he played the full 90 minutes. I don't recall him ever playing the full 90 minutes 3 games in a row for Toronto. And the last 2 games he's played, he's been subbed off. But I think in the first one, it was 80th minute he came out. And then on the weekend, it was about 73 or 74. So, they're getting minutes out of him. He's proving to be someone who can actually play and last and, play on, in consecutive weeks. So just compare that to his earlier sort of days with TFC. I think that's a positive as well.
But that's through 5 matches? Are we grasping at straws here a little bit?
Well, a little bit, yeah. But I mean, when you're...
He's playing 90 minutes.
Yeah. But again, I'm just trying to sort of put it in context. Right?
Yeah.
Because in terms of, when he first got here, obviously playing 90 minutes was... And even during his time at Napoli, he'd never really played 90 minutes. He wasn't, an incredibly durable player. So the fact that they were able to get, 3 consecutive 90-minute performances of a guy who... fitness has been an issue. His durability has been an issue. Take that as a positive. I know it's a silver lining. You really want to see it, but it is there.
Maybe that's the plan and the hope. They're going to play the hell out of him. Hope he tears something. Grab some insurance money or something, or get some cap relief. I don't know.
No. You know what? I think, he's got a lot of sort of criticism and rightly so for this contract. But I think at the end of the day, he's a proud guy and he wants to sort of, be out there and perform. I don't think he enjoys, contrary to what a lot of people believe, just enjoyed sitting, being benched for those 4 games and collecting a paycheck. He's a player. He wants to sort of play and be competitive and be out there on the pitch. So, and again, you can't... Having just witnessed him in training and on the in the club's training facility, you cannot question his sort of professionalism and the commitment that he's shown so far. So
good for him for training. I'm happy for him.
So, Jamo, let me ask you something. Sure. Not being super well versed in Robin Fraser's philosophy of play, what would be the hallmarks of play of a fluent offense under Fraser and with TFC? Do they have the pieces to do it? You would hope that they would in the aforementioned Insigne and Bernadeschi. I know they're missing Kerr up top.
Yes.
But is it just, my previous question alluded to it, but is it just a matter of time before we see that being unlocked?
Yeah, that's sort of the million-dollar question. Again, I do, not to repeat myself, I do think they need to bring in another piece because I don't necessarily think they have the depth or up top. What does an ideal sort of attacking sort of team look like under Robin's sort of vision? I think it's a lot about, not unlike what sort of what it was under Greg Vanney. I think it's a lot about deliberate possession and build up play and slowly sort of breaking teams down and getting to the other side and being quick with touches. I mean, I think one of the things that Robin touches on, much like Greg Vanney did, is that players have to be economical with their touches, because when you take an extra touch, then you're robbing the next guy who could be your real danger man of, time on the ball. So I think he just wants, players to be quick on the ball, move it along, progress the ball as quickly as possible, and just, get upfield in a very sort of efficient sort of manner and, you know, just be decisive when you've got sort of that clear sort of shot on goal or that clear opportunity to take it and not look for the extra pass or the extra touch. And so I think it's just a ball. It's mostly about being quick on touch, sort of being economical with your touches and just being really sort of efficient in moving the ball forward as quickly as possible.
Charms.
I'm back now. Am I back? my internet cut out. Am I back now?
Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah, everyone black. My whole stream went black. Yeah.
Oh, you came back. But I was just going to update. Footy Prime's Insigne update with John Molinaro, brought to you by Plum Tomatoes, when cherries just don't work.
Hey, don't badmouth Plum Tomatoes. They're good.
Oh, I love the Plum Tomatoes. What's going on with Sharps?
Sharps is away now.
I think it's having internet issues. What's the J-Mo, I did want to ask. I do follow TFC Live's, like, how often they're hit on Twitter and all of that kind of stuff. Have you seen, I've been watching a lot of social media, and the TFC Live fandom and supporters are not the happiest of folks.
Right.
Will this quell them? I know you use the term optimistic a little bit, cautiously optimistic, I think is the term used. Will this quell them a little bit, at least to give the benefit of the doubt to Robin Fraser? Because some of the signs over top of the bridge where they're like MLSC, right. This is, you know, all of that kind of stuff, which is, this has always been a very well supported club, right. And they've gone through a lot of losing seasons.
Right.
But this one seems like a little tipping point a bit.
I think you're right, Dan. I think to answer your question, will this, you know, how much goodwill will this sort of victory earn? I don't think a terrible amount. I think, you know, there's a lot of distrust isn't the right word. I think there's still a lot of frustration, right? Just because, you know, the fans just have been sort of waiting for this team to get going for so long now that there's a great deal of frustration, and rightly so. So, you know, the proof is on the results on the pitch. So if they can, you know, get another win against New York on Saturday, if they can beat Montreal in the Canadian Championship and advance to the next round, if they can begin May is going to be a crucial month for them because they have 7 games, 6 of which are at home, with the 1 road game is in Montreal. If they can sort of, you know, show some improvement then, you know, during next month and, you know, start piling up some points and climb up the ladder a bit, then I think you get the fans entirely back on side. But until then, I think there's still going to be a little bit of leeriness, a little bit of, well, let's wait and see this to see how this pans out. You can't sort of, I wouldn't expect fans to sort of like be in a complete love fest again after 1 result. It's going to take, you know, a little bit more time.
Well, if you need an opponent, you know, where you can earn that goodwill and you can gain that confidence, it might be Montreal at this point. Well,
I was going to ask, Amy, what's going on there? Like, that's crazy, you guys.
Yes, a little bit better. I think, it's still just a draw in their second match back at home, you know, finally getting past that 7-match stretch to open up the season, which they're always up against, but it just seemed interminable this year, you know, that time away. I think they've looked better under Donadel and better since Joel Waterman has come off of that right wing or like the right fullback position and back into the heart of that defense. I think that's better, but they still can't really seem to get going offensively, a little bit like TFC, but still without a win. So the Montreal Roses in their inaugural match for NSL and for this new franchise have a win before CF Montreal do. I was going to mention that on the call on Saturday, and I thought, no, I'm not going to be that asshole.
But you're too busy talking about, you know, fisted and that kind of stuff.
Said fist and a punch. I was like, oh my dear God. But I was going to ask you, J-Mo, any news about Richie and his health and his fitness?
Yeah, so just that, you know, he continues to be, like, he's not even training. And so I think when we talked to Robin Fraser, I think it was 2 weeks ago, he said he was about another month to 6 weeks out. Wow. So I suspect that it's going to be, so that's going to take us to mid to late sort of May. And you got to think that he's not going to go, you know, directly back into playing right after, you know, after such a long time ago. It might take a week or two. So, we might not really see him firmly back into the lineup, the starting 11, until June. So it's going to take some time. I mean, he flew to the UK to see sort of a specialist, mm-hmm. to look at, just to get at the bottom of his injury issues. And he doesn't have to do any sort of surgery or have be operated on. It's just a matter of going through, you know, a certain type level of rehabilitation process. So he's in the middle of that. So it's just, it's unfortunately, it's just going to take some time. It's unfortunate because he's, you know, such a great guy, and he just seems to have been really bitten by the injury bug since he got here, since he returned. Like, he hasn't really had, you know, a clean bill of health, like, totally for long stretches of time. So now he's out for another little bit. It's just, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation.
Remind me again, J-Mo, hamstring. Was that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Just,
yeah. And it's the same hamstring on the same leg that he suffered last year. So, it's, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit longer for some injuries to overcome and to fully heal.
Well, I mean, speaking of foundational pieces, right? So Sean Johnson is one, and Oso is another, and you can throw the Italians in there if you're feeling generous and you're full of that goodwill. I think that they should be granted occasionally, at least when they're proving to be durable or showing the effort. I mean, if they can put the pieces together and start to get results here and put together comprehensive performances, and then you can add in a guy like Richie Larea after the fact, then all of a sudden this squad is looking, I think, promising. Is that fair to say?
Possibly, yeah. It'd be almost like a new signing, almost, in a lot of ways, you know, with Richie to come back. Because, again, he hasn't sort of had a consistent run of games since he's come back. He's just been – he's really been sort of injury, you know, bitten. So that'd be almost like a new signing, almost, when he comes back.
I think it's promising. But with Lorenzo setting the standard by training, I think
the bar is – that's where the bar is. Training, check.
You're never going to let me run it down, eh, James?
No, never.
Okay.
Sorry, J-Mo. What's in the slate this week, J-Mo? TFC Republic.
Looking ahead to the game against New York City FC, have a feature story on Sigurd Rosted coming up later this week, who I think has been probably TFC's most improved player. And then a special quarterly report, because essentially we're a quarter of the way through the season.
I guess so.
Yeah, 9 games out of 34. A little bit more than a quarter of the way. So I'm just doing kind of like a comprehensive review of, you know, the first sort of 25% of the season, where things stand with TFC, and then where things are headed for the next, you know, quarter of the campaign.
Well, listen, 5 points out of the playoffs, it isn't actually that far off.
Nope.
MLS is a weird old league, right? The summer months are everything.
Like in Montreal. Sorry, Amy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
We're not
absolutely fair.
No, TFC fans are chanting, and they should be chanting. And it's a 2:30 kickoff, I think, this weekend, BMO. So an afternoon kickoff. And the weather
seems to be
warmish. Oh, well, way better. Yeah, I love the afternoon kickoffs.
Like it's Vancouver weather. I think it's going to be cool.
Miserable and gray?
Miserable and gray and rainy.
J-Mo, thanks, pal. Always a pleasure.
No worries.
And we'll get back on, obviously, very, very soon.
Cheers.
That is John Molinaro of TFCRepublic.ca. A little, we'll get to some Vancouver later in the week, obviously, because pretty big game coming up on Thursday. It's Inter Miami, of course. I want to just touch on before we leave, though, the Prem. Leeds and Burnley up, by the way, confirmed yesterday. So Leeds, I like to see Leeds back in the Prem. Burnley, yeah, great season. Don't get me wrong. Kind of one of those blah teams. You know,
sorry, Sharon, if you're filling us in, who's the third and fourth? Who will that be right now? The playoff?
Is that the way it works? Yeah, the playoff. Yeah, so the next four teams. I haven't even looked at
the next four teams play for the third.
It's best freaking mini tournament in football. Jimmy, it's brilliant. The playoff championship, it's superb. So yeah, that's to be determined. But I know Sheffield United were doing really well all year. They dropped out, so they'll be in that. But they'll probably be the favorites. I think it's fair to say, Jimmy, for promotion out of those four.
I think so, but you never know. You know what the playoffs are like. I think right now they got Sheffield United, they got Sunderland, Bristol City, and I think it might be Middlesbrough that's sneaking in there.
City, Jimmy.
Bristol City. Whoa.
Coventry and Middlesbrough are 6 and 7.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy, let me ask you this. If Bristol City win it and get in, it wins Forest, Bristol City, who are you cheering for?
Oh, that's a tough one, Charms. Probably still Forest, but I do have a soft spot for Bristol City.
Yeah, they gave you your opportunity, didn't they?
Yes, they did. It came through the system. They saw great club, great fans.
They saw something, a little flicker, a glimmer of potential in a young Canadian kid all those years ago.
Mm. Yeah.
No, you just see dead eyes.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Lifeless, dead eyes.
Nothing there. Soul is gone.
Yep.
No, where did it all go wrong?
Jimmy, it's okay.
Forest won yesterday, though, beat Spurs, right?
Yes, what a result that was. It was amazing. Right from the get-go, Forest were at it. They scored two goals, then they had a goal that was called back because Chris Wood was offside. And I thought their performance was absolutely brilliant. Really was that the ball from Alanga over to Chris Wood and knocks in the back of the net. Great finish. Anderson with a great strike. And then I don't know if you guys watched the match, but I think it was Richarlison gets up for a header, knocks it past Sells, and Toffolo ends up clearing it off the goal line. Mm-hmm. We've seen that a number of times where there's Marilla, Milinkovic, Toffolo. You know, this team, when they defend in numbers, and they make it so difficult for teams. But it was good, and that's what they had to bounce back. Obviously, had two bad results previously, but this one going away to Tottenham. Tottenham's a wounded animal right now, and I think they got the game plan right from the get-go. They were at it. It was good to see. So back to 60 points. They got Man City in next on Sunday in the FA Cup semis, so things are looking good.
We've got a graphic Dubs found. I think
we do. I'm going to put it up?
Yeah, put it up, yeah. Just looking at
you took it off the TV, eh, wing. Dubs? It's a good one.
No, I actually pulled it. I stole it from somebody on Twitter. Somebody else had taken a photo from their TV. Yeah. Mm.
And basically, it's a points difference compared to last season throughout the Premier League. And Forest have plus 28 points compared to last season. That's some swing. Mm-hmm. That's up on Brentford. Chelsea, 9 points better. And then look at the back end. Look at Spurs, 23 points. The bad. 18 losses on the campaign. United makes me laugh. And look at City. Mm-hmm. Second worst. Shouldn't surprise us, I suppose, but 18 points there as well. But still in contention for the Champions League, which, of course, says everything about City, right? They can have an 18-point swing, and they're still probably going to finish top four.
Yeah. A big match today, City and Villa.
Yeah, great game today.
Yeah.
Villa's been maybe the informed team the last month or so. They've been fantastic.
Yeah. Doing it quietly, though, somehow.
Yeah, because they're not supposed to be there, right? And then, oh, shit, look at them. They are real. Mm-hmm. They were good last year, good again this year. Mm-hmm. But that race for fourth place, that's the thing to watch now, right? Yeah. It's as simple as that. We know Ipswich is going down eventually, probably this weekend. We know Liverpool's going to win. It's that fifth place, I guess, right? This is
fifth place.
It's going to go right down to the wire. Okay. Anything else you want to touch on?
No.
I don't think so.
I think I'm good today.
I'm good today. Yeah. You work on that complexion, okay, Munga? You're huge.
Very, yeah.
I just wanted to show one more thing.
Yeah.
That is great. All right, for our listening audience.
I called her out on it. I yelled across the thing. It was like, real funny, Cara. And she was like, listen, it had nothing to do with me. It was Dubs. She egged me on. And I totally agree with her. I believe her right away. I was like,
that's great.
Dubs would make her do.
For the audience listening, the great Cara Lang on the broadcast this past weekend, she found a lovely picture of Jimmy Brennan donning the TFC armband in what, circa 2007, 2008, around there sometime.
Right under the shag couch.
The shag couch. Is that the shag couch? But flipping off Jimmy, that's great. That's a nice.
Yeah. I said, Cara, come on, let's keep it classy. And she just said, no, like, I absolutely, like, I want to flip Jimmy off. Like, come on, let's do it. And I was like, okay, fine. And I obliged. So
I met Cara for the first time face to face. That is classy for Cara. Let's be honest.
Wow.
Flipping the bird is classy for Cara.
No, it was me.
We had a good chat, and she said, hey, anytime you want me on, I'd love to be on. So let's use. Now. Yeah.
No, but Cara should be a regular contributor to the podcast for sure.
Yeah. Well, we can ask her about the only other team in MLS without a win so far. And that's Greg Vanney's LA Galaxy.
That's crazy.
So Cara could speak to that. Yeah.
Wow, that's be quite the point swing. You think? Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Sharm. Did you see Trundolo said he's going to resign at the end of the season?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, for LAFC. Things all going all pear-shaped at LA.
But to announce that this early in the season, I'm going to, like, that doesn't help the team. Does it? You tell me, your players.
I don't know.
If your coach told you a quarter of the way through the season, yeah, this is it, I'm leaving at the end of the season, doesn't that take away a little bit of the power that a coach has on a player? Like, oh, I don't care, Gaff, you're leaving anyway. Stop yelling at me.
Maybe it's strategic. For me, it's like one or the other. It's like players can then sort of shackles off, play for him if they are still, or if he still has their full confidence, or it's the flip side where they're like, fuck this guy. Like, we want him out, but he's going to stick around. So it doesn't even matter. So then it unleashes some of that expressiveness and the players can just play with some freedom. He's still making the decisions though, right?
I guess we're going to find out, right? One way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but good excuse if they start struggling even more.
Yeah.
What are the odds? Okay, very quickly. So is he going to last the season, do you think? Because, I mean, it's very easy now to say, see ya.
Yeah, wow. I wonder if this isn't going rogue. Like, maybe the writing's on the wall, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Control the message. Well, I'm going to leave anyway.
Okay, well, we're going to gas you, so that, who cares?
Is that how he announced it?
Yeah. That was it.
Well, I'm going to leave anyway.
What's your take Calgary on it,
Hobo, Calgary Hobo wrote his script.
Yeah.
No, I'm leaving anyway.
You're an ex-coach, ex-player?
Yeah, I wouldn't, as a player, I wouldn't like it. Mm-hmm. Because then it'd be back in my mind, okay, who's going to come in next? You know, am I going to fit into what he wants to do and his style of play? You know, is he going to like my character? There's a lot that goes into it. Right. And then again, for the manager to come out and say that, if you're ownership, you'd be looking at it going, well, we're not doing great now. If he wants to retire, we might as well get rid of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's one of these legacy coaches like in college football in the States where, oh, I'm retiring after 40 years of my legacy and I'm announcing it and everyone knows it. You haven't won. You're not doing great here. Oh, well, it's Galaxy. I don't know what. Has FC won?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But they're struggling,
too. It's more about self-preservation, right, than it is legacy. It's the other end of the spectrum. It's like the anti-Klopp move, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to let everybody know that I'm leaving.
Everybody, right? Because then there's then the players that are on the cusp of getting in or aren't playing much, they're thinking, thank God, get this guy out. It's not playing.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're mid-table. They're seventh right now in the playoffs, 13 points. So it hasn't been a great start, but it's not as if it's been a disaster. So, yeah, a little bit odd for sure. Throwing his toys at the pram, maybe. I don't know. Bigger job. Maybe he's going to Real Madrid. That's what it is. He's got the Real Madrid job next year because Carlo's leaving. Yeah, that's what it is.
No, that's
Shaggy. Going up to Montreal. He's going to coach at Saputo Stadium because he wants to coach Bologna at the end.
That's right.
It's the meandering route of a football manager.
That's right. What he wants
to be. It's the baloney in the sky.
You're pretty funny, don't you?
Yes.
All right, that's Footy Prime. Yes, I do. All right, anyway, that's Footy Prime. We're back tomorrow. Make sure you like us and follow us and subscribe to our podcast and, of course, our YouTube channel. More content on the way there, I hope. Right? We've got lots of plans. Whether we follow through.
Lots of plans.
We'll find out. Anyway, thanks, everyone. Thank you, JMO of tfcrepublic.ca. Make sure you subscribe to that, by the way, if you're a TFC fan or otherwise. Fan of Canadian football. Support the cause. All right. Cheers for listening. Bye.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig and visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter. Our good friends at Nickel 9 Distillery this Thursday, there's Fight Back and Laugh, a fundraiser to knock out Parkinson's disease. Get your tickets at Eventbrite. So look for Nickel 9
Distillery. What do you mean? They're having a boxing match?
Yes. It's a comedy boxing match.
Verbal sparring. And drinks.
Right.
A lot of roasting.
I want to see a boxing. I've never been to a proper boxing event. I don't want to go. I love
in the advertising, they used to have, like in the advertising agencies, they'd organize a box, like people like would
Bay Street.
Bay Street guys did it. The agencies did it. So you'd go so much bite fun. Somebody. Yeah.
Yeah.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/Footy Prime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.